This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Each year, the James Beard Foundation recognizes the best in the country's dining, and the St. Louis region has four chefs in the running for Best Chef Midwest. The semifinalists include Philip Day of Root Food Plus Wine, Lauren Nalich of Balkan Treat Box, Nick Bognar of Sado and Pavilion, and Alex Henry of El Menino del Sureste. For Alex, it's a first-time honor, and having a national organization shine a light on the regional Mexican cuisine he and his brother Jeff Henry offer at the South St. Louis restaurant they co-own. And today, both Alex and Jeff Henry join us to talk about this recognition and the journey they've been making to arrive at this point. Alex, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, Elaine.
And Jeff, great to have you on the show. Congrats are in order to you as well.
It's a pleasure.
So, were the two of you together when the news came?
No. We talked about it once we got to work that day, but I had heard about it before I had left that morning.
Mm-hmm. And what went through your mind? Did it come through a phone call? Was it an email?
I think I got a congratulations notification was the first thing I noticed on my phone, and I was like, oh, what could this be for? And then I figured out it was for the James Beard nomination, and mm-hmm. I was very, very excited. Very, very humbled to be among such a group, and felt really good.
Yeah. How about for you? What did you think?
Well, personally, I was just hopping out of the shower, and I was in the middle of updating the page to see the nominees. I had literally scrolled to Alex's name when I saw the text from him letting me know. But no, I was extremely excited. I was about to call him and congratulate him. But, obviously it's been a long road to get here, truly bootstrapping it, not long hours, not a lot of resources. So I'm incredibly proud of Alex, and I'm just humbled to be some small part of this road to get here.
Yeah. Alex, you told producer Laila Halilbasic that this is an honor that you dreamed about when you were starting your career as a chef, and maybe as a student at St. Louis Community College, Forest Park. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, when I was getting into the cooking profession, I, always strived to do good at what I was doing, So, once, early on in my career, I kind of had heard about the James Beard Foundation and all that. It was definitely always something that, I strived for. I didn't really ever think it was in reach until recently now, but it's always been a goal that I wished to attain.
Mm-hmm. Well, to understand how you've gotten to this point, to this James Beard nomination, we should go back to where and how each of you grew up. And your roots are in Mérida, which is the capital of the state of Yucatán.
Correct.
And you spent time, a good portion of your childhoods in Mexico. And I understand you kind of went back and forth between Yucatan and Missouri.
Correct.
What was it like to grow up with a foot, as it were, in both of those worlds? Alex, we'll start with you.
It was really interesting, during childhood memories, it's kind of hard to differentiate that I had feelings any different. They were both things that we grew up with, but then, as we were spending more time here, I definitely grew fond of things that I missed from childhood in Mérida. We were lucky enough that my mom was able to, once we were in school, take us pretty much for almost the entirety of summer break to spend down there through most of our school years up here. So we definitely benefited from being able to, still maintain strong ties to both cultures.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for you, Jeff? This older brother, maybe there's some things that you saw.
Well, obviously, there were some aspects of it that were a little jarring. But at the same time, I had already started school, whereas Alex had not. Mm-hmm. So I guess diving right into, you know, the socialization aspect of getting acclimated to the culture with other children perhaps made it a little easier. I don't have a recollection of it, but, you know, I'm told, you know, when we moved here, we both had pretty strong accents speaking English, but obviously over time they completely disappeared. Yeah. Mm-hmm. but as far as, you know, having one foot in two worlds, I definitely think that, you know, that's something that you weren't aware of early on, but has served us very well and made us a lot more understanding and empathetic towards other experiences, other folks' experiences. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. How did that time and what you experienced then influence or inform what you are doing now, Alex?
I mean, well, for me, you know, it was a big part of it is like just kind of the fondness of some of those memories and, you know, the food and smells are kind of the strongest senses associated with memories. So, you know, kind of was natural for me to want to kind of recreate some of that experience here as well and to share it with other people. So I would say that, you know, I think really that experience of growing up with a foot in both cultures kind of was very formative towards my career.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about foods, you know, smells, flavors, but also just what the environments were like, what did experiencing food look and feel like in Mexico?
Well, Jeff? Well, for one thing, we were very privileged to be actually next door neighbors with our abuelitos, our grandparents, and our abuelita Adi, our maternal grandmother, was a fantastic cook. And she was also very discriminating about ingredients. So rather than going to, you know, a commercial supermarket, we would go to the open air market. And, you know, she was on a first name basis with, you know, her butcher, you know, the spice guy, the produce guy. And, you know, she was always touching, feeling, smelling, tasting, you know, really scrutinizing the ingredients that were going to go into the day's meal. So both using fresh ingredients, using only what you need, buying what you need for the day's meal. And you know, also she was willing to change plans depending on what was available for the day. So I think that's definitely something that has stuck with us and with Alex in particular, with the farm-to-table approach that he takes with the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that and how you decide what to make.
Yeah, I mean, typically we try to follow the seasons and what's locally available. You know, obviously with a serving, you know, southern Mexican regional cuisine, for the most part, there's some things that we have to get from other places that are just necessary, like citrus and avocados and such. But, you know, for pretty much anything else, we try to follow the seasons, what's locally available from, you know, the farmers that I have relations with and, you know, kind of try to build the menu from there and kind of try to keep it very, very dynamic, kind of changing throughout the season. You know, right now we're the deepest part of winter, so we're kind of in a slower point for the amount of change that we do. But, you know, we try to keep it kind of constantly evolving and following the seasons to take advantage of the best produce.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you have cooked at a number of places. You've been the executive chef at Nixta, at Cleveland Heath in Edwardsville. And so coming to El Molino, and before that, the Taqueria de Sereste, yep, which is where I first tried the food that you make. And then that place at the Foundry was like the place that I would go to all the time. At what point did you decide that you wanted or perhaps even needed to share the food of Yucatan with St. Louisans?
Well, you know, it's something that originally in my career, that wasn't the original thing. The original thing was just kind of learn skills, get good. But, you know, several years back when I worked with Chef Rob Wemra, you know, sometimes for staff meal, I would make some stuff that was, you know, from my childhood or something. And he was always trying to convince me to you know, follow that and cook that sort of food. And, you know, I would always go back and forth with him. Well, I can't even get half the ingredients and, you know, people don't know this. How am I going to sell it? And, you know, as I got later in my career and I was kind of deciding that I was ready to set out on my own, you know, it kind of came back to me, you know, I mean, that's really kind of what makes the most sense. This is the food that I like cooking the most. It's the food I have memories associated with. And, you know, it's the the type of food that, you know, if I want to create some new dishes that aren't something I'm recreating, that, you know, it's the sort of techniques that I'm usually going to follow. So it just kind of made sense.
Mm-hmm. Did you always have in your mind, Jeff, that you wanted to do something like this with your brother?
Well, I mean, it was something that we played around with kind of half seriously. But I mean, to be perfectly honest, Alex knew that he wanted to be a chef since he was, I don't know, 13 or 14 watching cooking shows on TV, whereas I had a very different path in mind. You know, I studied political science. You know, I took Portuguese. I had an interest in international relations. My thought was more to be a diplomat, but, you know, life circumstances changed things. And I ended up, you know, working in the restaurant industry as a server, bartender, other various front of house positions. And here we are. Yeah.
The point at which you did decide to start something, why did you begin with the taqueria?
You know, well, I initially wanted to kind of go and start something more similar to El Molino, but, you know, it seemed like maybe it would have been kind of running before I could walk, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, especially considering this is food that people are unfamiliar with. And, you know, I had plenty of experience, you know, in restaurants, but, you know, this was the first time I was going to own one. So there was going to definitely be a big learning curve there as well. So, you know, that was kind of why Taqueria was initially it was just Sureste Mexican restaurant, and then we changed to Taqueria. But that's kind of why that was the original kind of starting point, you know, kind of to get people to start knowing the food and, you know, kind of get us through some of the learning curve of restaurant ownership too.
Mm-hmm. Was there a certain dish that made you feel like we can now jump to a full-fledged restaurant?
A certain dish. I mean, I guess there's less so than a dish. I would say more the masa, the nixtamal, the grinding of the corn, the basis of everything that we were doing there, which is kind of the heart of Mexican cuisine, which is the masa, kind of didn't really fit in our space anymore that we had in the foundry. So it kind of seemed like it was a time that we needed to take that next step. And that next step seemed like, you know, going into, you know, more of a sit down, full service type restaurant situation.
Why did you need that space? Give us a picture of what El Molino actually involves, Jeff.
Well, Even the current space might not be ideal for it, because if you walk into the restaurant, you know, kind of the focal point as you walk in the door is a 10 horsepower grain mill. It weighs hundreds of pounds and takes up a pretty good chunk of the space right in the storefront. Thing is, there wasn't room for it in the kitchen. So, mm-hmm. It's broken into two rooms. We have kind of the main dining room and then a bar area with a little more limited seating. The bar itself is half open kitchen, and then we have a prep kitchen in the back. So as you might imagine from that, there's a lot of work that goes into making all this from scratch. So it requires a lot of equipment, a lot of space, and, you know, a lot of hands to do it all. But yeah, I mean, The name was Alex's idea. It kind of made sense after we realized that there really was nowhere else to put the molino, the mill. Mm-hmm. So make it both the centerpiece, conversation piece, and, you know, kind of a nod to what we're doing.
Yeah. We're talking today with the co-owners of El Molino del Sureste, Alex and Jeff Henry. Alex has been nominated for a James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest. The tradition is in the DNA of El Molino del Sureste and its cuisine. And then there's also this balance with tradition and innovation. Is there a particular dish that encapsulates how you do that, Alex?
I mean, I would say it's not necessarily one of the most visually stellar dishes, but one of my personal favorites that I think really, really does kind of show all of that process in its entirety might be the tamal colado, because, you know, first we have to start by making that masa from scratch, which we mill. Then, you know, we have to mix it with pork stock from the house butchered pigs that we do, you know, and then we have to strain it and then cook it with lard from the same pork. Then at the same time, we have to mix for the filling a little bit of the masa with more of the pork that we've cooked as cochinita pibil, which also requires to make it Ricardo Rojo, which is a red achiote spice paste that we also grind in the same mill. And then we wrap those in banana leaves, steam them, and serve them with a tasty salsa frita tomato sauce. And, you know, it seems so simple, but there's actually really a lot that goes into that simple tamal, just because the ingredients are either not available or the quality of the ones available, because who knows why, maybe they've been in storage so long or not up to what we want to use. So we make those from scratch as well.
Well, it sounds like a lot from your description, and this is exactly the right and the wrong thing to be talking about at 12:50 in the afternoon. With the approach that you take to tradition and innovation, how much of that is done consciously, and how much of it merely is sort of like an organic outgrowth of what your personal and sort of gustatory experience has been throughout your life?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. Some of it is, you know, some things we make a little bit of innovation out of necessity, you know, out of maybe we can't source this ingredient or this ingredient's in season, and you know, it might still make sense for this dish I have in mind. And then some of it is, you know, a little bit more creative and playful. For example, a taco that's kind of a staple on our menu, the Castacan taco with crispy skin on pork belly, basically fried like it's chicharron. So a lot of times that might be served with like a salsa verde or something like that, and radish and stuff. So instead of just doing that, you know, we decided to make a partial salsa verde, like a cilantro salsa that didn't have tomatillo and stuff in it, and then do pickled tomatillos and radish and kind of played it a little different. You have a little bit different result in every bite than you would in the traditional sense. But, you know, that one was kind of more just creative because we wanted to. And then some of the other instances are just out of necessity.
Mm-hmm. I have been to the restaurant before. And Jeff, you were there to sort of explain what was on the plate in front of us. What have you found about people's level of curiosity about what they are eating? Are there certain questions that you commonly field?
Certainly. You know, not only about the provenance, because, you know, we, as much as we try to put out there that, you know, as natives of Yucatan, that is the focus of the cuisine that we do, although there are menu items that, you know, are either inspired by or originate in other regions of Mexico. But sometimes the ingredients are things that people in particular are very surprised by and ask about if they're traditional, most commonly turkey and venison, which we really try to hammer home the point that, you know, Mexico's, what makes Mexican cooking and culture unique, even though it is kind of a product of the mixing of cultures, are its indigenous roots. And so we do are very conscious about using some of those native ingredients that harken back to, you know, thousand-year-old, you know, thousands of years old traditions that are rooted in indigenous cooking traditions, with the Mayan culture being the largest influence, given that, you know, the Yucatan Peninsula is kind of one of the heartland regions of the Mayan people.
Mm-hmm. Alex, how much homework goes into what people experience, you know, on the plate?
Well, you know, it kind of depends on the dish. Some of them come kind of just naturally and without much effort the very first time, you know. And then other ones, you know, they may not make the cut or may need a whole lot of adjustment, you know, before we get it somewhere where we feel okay selling it also. So it really kind of depends from dish to dish, you mm-hmm. know.
Who tests your food before you put it on the menu for other people to eat?
Usually whoever's on staff working the day that I'm the day that I'm testing.
That sounds like a perk of working there.
Right.
the cooking and the concocting that you are doing at El Molino Dulce Reste, What about it makes it distinct in the Midwest culinary context?
Well, you know, I think a few things. You know, one, the focus on corn. You're seeing a few other restaurants do that in different major cities in the country, including some in the Midwest. But it's not something you've been seeing that much in the past, and in the Midwest in particular, that just really makes a lot of sense because we're one of the largest corn growing regions in the world, and you know that's one of the main purposes of that corn. So to use that. You know, and also I feel like, at least in our region in the Midwest, you know, you until recently hadn't really been seeing kind of differentiation of like different types of regional Mexican cuisine versus, more of, Northern or Tex-Mex or California Mexican cuisine that, you know, had basically been around and been the, you know, staples that Midwesterners thought of as Mexican food up until, you know, I think recently now that's starting to change, and I think that's because of, you know, restaurants kind of like El Molino or others in our city and in other cities. So, you know, I think one of the things that makes us different is that we're both showcasing different food from our region while at the same time using the local ingredients to try to kind of create, you know, new, I guess, Mexican Midwestern food as well.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff, you are heading up the bar program, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you also incorporate some of what Alex has talked about into the things that people are imbibing when they come to the restaurant?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I try not to stray away too far from flavors that kind of evoke, in particular, our childhood. For instance, there's a cocktail that we make a tamarind and chili syrup for, which, you know, takes me back, I'm sure Alex too, to our childhood. There are a lot of spicy tamarind candies that are widely consumed in Mexico. Tropical fruits like soursop and mango, and obviously lots of lime, and also just using Mexican spirits. So we actually don't carry any whiskey, gin, or vodka. So the base of all of our cocktails are going to be Mexican distillates, and in particular, trying to highlight some more of the sugarcane spirits that people are not really accustomed or associate with Mexico, but are very much part and a huge part of the culture down there. But also just making everything from scratch. So all the juices are fresh squeezed, all the syrups are made in house, we just want to make drinks that taste good, but still don't distract from the real star of the show, which is Alex's insanely good cooking.
Mm-hmm. Alex, as the 2026 James Beard Award semifinalist here in the room, being recognized as the best chef Midwest, category, what does this mean for you at this point in your culinary journey? And what does it also mean for immigrant-rooted businesses in St. Louis?
Well, I think for me and in my career journey, I think this currently represents hopefully a good opportunity for, A, to get more people to my business, and B, to, have, hopefully a better platform to continue doing what we're doing, teaching people about our culture, sharing our culture, kind of creating a little bit of a mix with what exists here as well. I think that to tie into the other question, I think that it both creates like a comfortable homey type feeling for, immigrant culture for people that might be their food, but also for, the people of St. Louis, it gives them an opportunity to kind of explore, some of what our culture has to offer as well.
Mm-hmm. Alex Henry is a 2026 James Beard semifinalist for Best Chef Midwest and the executive chef of El Molino del Sureste. Jeff Henry heads the restaurant's bar program and front of house operations, and he co-owns El Molino in South St. Louis with his brother. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lane.
This episode was produced by Lila Halil-Bashic.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio.
Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.